You're listening to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. It's what you're talking about this week.
Good evening. It's election day. Are you ready? Have you voted? You have an hour left, a little less. I'm Ann Carrick.
And I'm Vincent Caprio.
And we're going to talk about everything having to do with elections today, not just election day itself. I've been a moderator at the elections for at least 8 years. This is like the first year since then that I have not been working the polls. And if you don't know what a moderator is, that's the person who's in charge at that polling location. When you show up to vote, you have all the workers, everybody has a job, and there's somebody who's sort of in charge. That's the moderator. But we're also going to talk about what the elections will mean. Where are we going? You know, if the huge changes everybody's talking about happen, what does that mean going forward? And Vincent, I know this is like your Super Bowl World Series, right?
Yes, I'm so excited.
You'd like to have Election Day every quarter, right?
I wish it was every day.
Every day.
I mean, I just want everyone to know this is a historic evening.
More so than 2 years ago.
Much more.
Really?
Yes. Majority Leader Reid, if he's defeated, it will be the first majority leader defeated in 58 years.
And that one's a touch and go in Nevada.
Right now, the polls showing Sharron Angle up 49 to 46, and obviously margin of error is 3.
Wow.
But this would be historic. The last speaker to be defeated was Senator Ernest McFarland, a Democrat from Arizona, who was known as the father of the GI Bill, who was the majority leader from 50 to 52, and he was swept out with the Republican landslide of 1952, and he was defeated in 1952 by Senator Goldwater.
Senator Goldwater.
Right.
Just a reminder to our listeners that you can call in 203-333-WICC. It's 9422 or 1-800-922-6060. And Vince, I know you were listening earlier that with the problems they're having in Bridgeport, they ran out of ballots. I think Bridgeport's the only city in the state that had that issue. I personally don't see a reason to extend the length of election night, because if you are in line by 8 o'clock by state law, you don't have to be inside the building. You don't have to have voted. You just have to be in line by 8 o'clock. You get to vote.
Right.
However long it takes to clear the line, you still get to vote. So extending it 2 more hours, I think, would just make those poll workers who've been there since 4:45 this morning a little agitated.
Right. And I would have to agree with you. Now, I'm going to ask a question. So if the Republicans gain 39 seats, then they will be in the majority, and probably Congressman Boehner will be the majority leader. Do you think that Nancy Pelosi, she will not be the majority leader?
Right.
Do you think she will step down as a congressman?
And her position?
Yes.
Totally?
Yes.
Having seen a clip of her earlier today where she was still claiming she thought they were going to hang on to the House, I would say maybe not.
Actually, it's interesting. There's always been a precedent for someone that's the majority, the Speaker of the House, that's defeated. They usually do resign afterwards.
They could still run out their term.
Yes.
California.
Years. Yeah, sure.
Right.
Now, so this is.
So it's just a press. It's just a. It's always been the case. It's
right.
Not like it's required.
Right. Now, there's not every pollster, and I know the polls are still open, but this doesn't affect. I'm not going to talk about our local congressional race, but every pollster, Rasmussen, Charlie Cook, Nate Silver.
Oh, no, they all say that the Republicans are going to take the House.
Every single one of them has said it's conservative 50 to 55 seats, upwards of 80 seats.
Ouch.
There's not one pundit, there's not one researcher or pundit at present time that I've read on Real Clear Politics that has said that the Democrats could retain the House.
No, I know. I agree with you. I haven't seen anything that says that's going to happen.
Right.
Now, what do you think? I mean, given Nancy Pelosi, not that I've met her personally, but her personality as viewed through the television, she doesn't seem to me like the kind of person who would step down. What do you think?
I think that she might do 6 months, and I think she will step down next summer. I mean, Denny Hasker, after he wasn't the majority leader or the Speaker of the House, he stepped down. So it's there's a lot of precedent to it. Tom Foley did, the former Speaker in the 90s. So it happens.
Why did they step down?
When you're a Speaker, or if you're a Chairman, you have a very large office. And then when you lose that position, you go to a very small office and you feel diminished. And it's really hard to be a diminished person politically. I mean,
it's all about
power in D.C.
Well, that's the problem.
I know.
It's not supposed to be about power. It's supposed to be about fixing problems.
Because think about it. She has always been in the news media, in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, NBC, CNN, ABC, the first woman Speaker of the House. Speaker of the House Pelosi. Speaker of the House
Well,
Pelosi.
Right, right.
Now she's going to have to listen to them say tomorrow morning.
Congresswoman.
Or ex-Speaker Pelosi.
Here's the thing.
Some of my friends that are political junkies, the postmortem is going to go all the way till the end of the year. The news media every day is going to be talking about what's happened, it's historic, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of the year, the last week after Christmas, they do all the top 10 lists. We'll do one, too, here. And so the top 10 news stories, this is the number one news story. So they just beat it to death.
So after 6 months, she won't be able to take it anymore.
No, she'll be like, I cannot do this.
I'm out of here.
And I think people hear how historic it is, but they're going to really hear it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I didn't think about it when you asked the question. Like 6 months from now. I was thinking, would she resign immediately?
Right.
And I thinking, no. But I didn't think about like 6 months out if you've been, you know, depending on how it plays out and what is said. I mean, she has to know that she's got a huge following of dislikers, so to speak. That it's not, that she's got her enemies. So, you know, that's not like she has a love fest going on that they're going to say, oh, no, Lane and Nancy, we want you to stay in the office. Please stay.
Right. No, and not to jump the gun, but probably what's going to happen, the conventional wisdom is the Democrats will retain the Senate 52-48 or 51-49.
Do you think there's any chance that they'll lose the Senate?
No, because Christine O'Donnell has been running 20 points behind in Delaware, and I believe that Patty Murray in Washington...
So we'd have to have surprises.
Right, but here's the thing. So tomorrow... Do we have some callers?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Now, tomorrow, I know we're still in the present, but tomorrow morning, the pundits will start in on something that I'm going to say now, because I want to get a jump on the pundits. They're going to start talking about 2012, and they're going to talk about 2012 because in 2006, there were four Republicans elected who barely were elected, like Senator Webb in Virginia. Those four Democrats... who were barely elected in the last tidal wave where the Republicans got swept out, are up in 2012. And those people are now going to be focused in on. And so everyone for the next 2 years is going to say those four Democratic seats are vulnerable. And if they flip back to Republican, then it'll be 52-48 Republican. And so the question is going to be, for example, say the Republicans...
So they're going to be working even harder to hang on to those
seats. Here's another thing that's going to happen. Right now, and I know you say I drone on about these numbers, but I have to say it
every
week.
It's not droning. It's hard to listen and absorb all those numbers.
But this is going
to
be a very important public policy debate. Right now, we're at $13.7 trillion. The debt ceiling that the country has is $14 trillion. Sometime next spring... we're going to get to that debt ceiling. At that point in time, the House of Representatives has to vote to increase the debt ceiling. The Republicans in the Tea Party that are going to be elected this evening have adamantly said
they're not
raising the debt ceiling, which potentially means sometime next March or April, they could close the government down like they did in the 90s.
I remember that.
Right. So say...
You know, it's very unfortunate because all this stuff comes to, you know, like this party to that party and they're going to do this and they're not going to do that. And, you know, most people are like, we don't even care about the parties. We want you guys to actually get something done, fix some problems instead of bickering back and forth between yourselves. You know, that's part of the reason I think that the last couple of elections have been such a swing in one direction and back in the other direction. They're trying to send a message that says, you guys are not getting the job done. We want some new faces, new people, new ideas, but we want you actually to do something instead of just talk about it and collect a paycheck.
Well, if the Republican Party takes control of the House, they say they are going to do something and they are going to attempt to repeal President Obama's health care.
But that still doesn't move us forward. I mean, I'm, you know, we can debate whether that's good or bad, but you know what I'm saying? What people really want, I mean, it's overwhelming, is they want to see a change in the economy and the job situation.
Yes.
And I've always said, if people are working and being paid a fair wage, all those other problems become really minor.
Right.
Even healthcare, because if I'm, you know, if I'm making good money, I'll either buy insurance or just pay for medical treatment when I need it or want it. Do you know what I'm saying? So if you're working and you have money, the other things become much less important on your list. If you're underpaid or unemployed, and now you talk about health care, people hit the panic button because they know they can't afford the health services that they need, even the regular routine things.
I agree. And you just said creating jobs, and that's what this election's been about, the economy and not creating jobs.
Or getting out of the way so people who know, who have jobs can go ahead and create them.
So when the obituary begins tomorrow morning...
the obituary.
It'll start tonight at around 12 o'clock on Hardball. When the obituary begins, they're going to say that President Obama spent too much time on health care reform, yada, yada.
They've already admitted that.
Well, he has, but they're going to just keep beating you with that tomorrow morning. And that he didn't focus on the economy.
And he should have.
Right. And our unemployment is 10%.
But his stated first priority agenda was healthcare.
Right. And then his second...
While the jobs are going down the drain.
Right. And then his second piece of legislation he accomplished was financial reform. And I have to tell you, I know people...
I don't think it's work.
Well, I know people that are in the financial industry, and they don't really understand what was in the financial reform legislation. I mean, not to be like Jay
Leno. More spending.
You never know, Jay Leno walks up to people on the street and asks them a question. He asks them, like, who's the vice president, and they don't know it's Biden. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, thing. I've seen those, yeah.
But I know highly educated people that don't have any idea what healthcare reform was. How did that help you as a taxpayer?
Oh, it hurt me from the moment that it was
healthcare
pretty
reform.
The moment that it was pretty clear that the healthcare reform was going to pass,
mm-hmm.
not when it did, but before that, when
right.
it was pretty obvious it was going to happen. We weren't sure exactly in what form, but it was going to happen.
Right.
I immediately got a letter because I buy my own health insurance.
Sure.
A letter from my health insurance provider that the rates were going up.
Mm-hmm.
And that some of the services were going away. So higher price, less service. And then after it passed, I got another letter which was very interesting because it was a letter stating some services that were being changed slightly, which was really a reduction in service again, not huge. But the letter arrived sometime in the summer, and it was effective January of that same year and January of the previous year. And I said, is that a typo? Or because you can't, how do you send a letter to somebody that says, well, by the way, you know, now instead of getting A, B, and C, you're only going to get A and B,
mm-hmm.
and it's effective retroactive 6 to 18 months. What if I had already sought out and received C? Were they going to come and try to get that money back from me? So that was what I saw immediately. That's why I said before it ever passed was the rate increase, and after it passed, they cut back on some things. And my opinion was they could see the writing on the wall that they were going to have to be paying for more things for more people at a lower rate, and so they had to bring in more money to cover it.
Right.
I will say there are a couple, I'm not really in favor of the health care bill from what I know about it. There are a couple little things I've heard which are good as far as being allowed to keep children on a parent's policy to age 26, I think it is, whether they're a full-time student or not.
Yes.
Or I think that's great. That's the one, you know. And I've said from the beginning, why didn't they decide on the maybe 10 items that everybody agreed on? All parties. Why didn't they just pass those first? Everybody agreed on those and get those into place and then, you know, hammer out the details on the other ones.
But now, one of the pieces of health care reform people did like was allowing their young adults, I don't hate to call people that are 24 or 25, children, their young adults on their plans. Just so you know, if the Republican Party decides to repeal the health care reform, that would be something that would be repealed. Now, that's already built into the expenses by the insurance companies. So, for example, if that was repealed, right, and those young adults were now taken off, and then they went back into the system without any insurance, it actually might drive our rates back up for people that pay. But I don't want to get into the complexities of that.
Right.
But they are going to attempt to repeal that, and that's one of the things that's in the legislation.
Right. The other thing I did hear that I thought was a positive, and here in Connecticut, we sort of already have it, so it's not an obvious change for us, which is the part about not being covered if you have a pre-existing condition.
Yes.
Connecticut already has something in our laws, so people here may not realize that, that what we have, which is, yes, you get put into a pool where it's a much higher rate, which can be so high that you can't afford it anyway, but you can't be just flat-out denied for a pre-existing condition. We have that, but the rest of the country didn't. So those are the two things I took out of it. I said, okay, those two things I definitely agree on. Most of the rest of the things I've heard, and I freely admit I have not read the 1,000-plus pages, nor do I have a copy, but the rest of what I heard about it, I didn't think too much of it.
Now, moving on to some of the things that are going to change is that there's an interesting coalition developing. So the people in the Democratic Party on the far left that are against the war would like to see the war wound down faster and for us to trim expenses from the Department of Defense, which is at present time over $800 billion. Okay. Now, there's people in the Tea Party that are against the war, too. They're isolationists. So you might have an interesting coalition of Congress, people in Congress, who are going to get together on the far right and far left who want to see both wars ended and decrease spending, military spending. So this is an interesting coalition.
So it could be a lot of changes.
Yes.
We're going to talk more about that, but right now we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back. And if you have comments about...